How's everybody doing? Good. It's good to see each and every one of you. I hope you've had a wonderful weekend, especially over the Valentine's weekend and so forth. But I know we are truly looking forward this morning to showing our love and appreciation for our Lord and Savior Jesus. So we are so glad you've chosen to be with us today. If you are new with us, we are certainly glad to have you, and we hope today is going to be a wonderful day for you as well. But at this time, what I'd like to do is continue our times of catching up with one another. So take a few minutes, stand up, greet someone this morning. If you're still fighting the little sickness flu and everything, just do some elbow bumps or something like that. Just pats on the back here and there. We got sanitizer if you need it as well, but take a few minutes and welcome someone to Lexington Christian Church today. Into our time of just keeping you up to speed on what's going on here at the church. So if you can make your way back to your seats here in just a moment, we'll go ahead and give you some updates real quick. This week coming up, we do have a few things taking place. We have the Women's Fellowship that is meeting this Thursday at 6 p.m. right here in the Activity Center. So again, ladies, if you haven't plugged into this particular group, I really and strongly encourage you to give them a chance, because this is a really unique group of ladies that they know how to fellowship. They know how to make it creative. They love being with each other. And when you get around people that love being around each other, it's very easy to fit right in. And so I hope and pray that you'll make an effort to do that. I understand that we need people to sign up what they're bringing. Otherwise, you're going to be getting cereal and Pop-Tarts is what I was told. So please make sure today at the end of the service, I believe the sign-up sheet is here in the South Foyer. If you will take a look at that and see what you can bring for Thursday night, that would be great. And if you have any questions, I understand you need to see Diane and Regina. About that, if you'll raise your hands just to make sure they know who you are, okay? And so that would help out a lot there. But go ahead and let us know about that. I do know that on the 24th next week, we do have Lifeline is doing a Lifeline screening here at the church on the 24th, Monday. If you're wanting to do something like that, you have to go through their website to do that. That's not affiliated necessarily with the church. You don't just call us to make the appointment. You need to make the appointment with them if you're interested in that. But just to know that the facility will be used on Monday if you see a whole lot of cars in and out of the parking lot as you're driving by, or if you're coming up for any business here at the church. So just know that that the Lifeline group will be here not this Monday, but next Monday. It is President's Day next Monday, so there's going to be some kids out of school as well. I know they're looking forward to the extended weekend also. And then one final thing I do want to make you aware of for next Sunday. We are trying to put a team together to coordinate and plan our Easter egg hunt that will be coming up in April. It'll be the Saturday, the 11th of April is when we're going to be doing that. We decided to do we used to do it where we combined it on Easter Sunday, but we found that we have an opportunity to reach more people in the community if we open it up to everyone in the community. And so we're going to be planning on what that looks like for this coming year. So if you have any interest in being a part of the planning team for that, just please come see me. And that meeting is going to be on February the 23rd at 5 p.m. here at the church, if you're interested in planning that. So let us know, and we'll put your name on the list, and we'll let you know how things are going to go from there. Any other announcements, anything that I need to make aware of at this point? Yes, Addison? Okay, if there's no other announcements, I'd like to shift our attention now to our prayer list that's in our bulletin. I've got a couple of updates of some different things here, and I meant to bring this sheet up here with me, and I didn't do that. Obviously, please be in prayer for Megan Julian and the Newton side of the family. She lost her grandfather yesterday. I don't know all the details of that. She was just wanted us to know that he had passed away. But I know that the visitation is today. That's why you don't see them today. And do we know what the funeral arrangements are?
I know visitation is today. The funeral is tomorrow. And
Okay. What was his name?
Willard Newton.
Okay. So please keep that side of the family in your prayers today as they're mourning the loss of a loved one. Please be with a prayer for Shirley. This week she finds out when the biopsy is going to be at some point. She doesn't know when. Hopefully tomorrow, we're hoping. So just keep Chris and Shirley in your prayers in that regard. Continue to keep Kathy in your prayers. She just had injections, plasma injections, I believe, in her knees to hopefully begin building up some cartilage and things of that nature, some bone marrow into her knees to help her there. She's trying to avoid knee replacement surgery. So she's trying this route. So and just pray for her, so that, because it takes time for that to build. And so without the anti-inflammatories that she was taking, that makes it hard for her to walk. So please pray for the Lord to give her the strength in her knees for that. And another praise that I want to see is the fact that we get to see Bill Pendleton with us this morning. So Bill's been fighting pneumonia and different things that has been causing some breathing issues, but folks at Vanderbilt been working with him, helping him out there, and so we're praying that we'll have a string where Bill can just be with his family and not have to go to the hospital in that regard. So we're glad to have you this morning, bud. So we've been praying for you big time. So absolutely. Any other updates on our prayer list? Yes, Diane. Yes. That is, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. For those of you that don't know who he is, that's Johnny and Rebecca Larimore's oldest. He had that procedure done this past week, and we're glad to hear that those results came back very favorable for him. So that's awesome. See, any other updates on our prayer list this morning? Who? Oh, okay. Oh. Hey, some of y'all know exactly what she's talking about, okay? You know exactly. For those of you that didn't hear that, Gianna's asking for prayer for Christy and Martin Johnson. That's her mom and dad. They both got the flu, and they're praying for speedy recovery because the house can get in chaos if mama is down for the count. So that means Gianna has to cook. Are you up for the challenge? Okay. All right. Well, if there's no other updates on the prayer list, here's what I'd like for us to do. I'd like for you to take a moment. Is any other new requests before I go on to the next part? Any others outside of what Gianna just said? Okay. I'd like for you to pick up your bulletin. I'd like for you to take out and open up to the prayer list here. What we like to do here at Lexington Christian Church is, because in town we're known as the praying church, okay? And we want to take a moment and I'd like for you to find one person's name on that list, okay? And I'm going to give you enough time to really have a time of silent prayer for this particular person that you have. Or there can be someone on your heart. Maybe there's someone that you've been praying for that does not know Jesus. Maybe they're outside of Christ and you're praying for the opportunity, or you're praying for their soul today. Take this moment and let's lift up these people in prayer. I'll give you a moment of silent prayer, and then I will have a time where I close up our time here of prayer. During that time, our worship team will come up and we'll be prepared to go into our time of singing songs to the Lord. So, if you will, go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's have an opportunity just to pray over some folks here on our prayer list. Almighty God, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for this opportunity to just to come before you, to gather together as a church family, to gather together to worship you, to gather together to pray to you. And Jesus, there's just so much that are on our hearts and minds, good things, trials, tests, so many different things, God. But Father, we lay them at your feet at this time so that we can be pure of heart, that we can take this time to look at this past week, recognize the sins that kept us from you and ask for your forgiveness. Jesus, I ask in your name that you would fill this place. You would fill our hearts with joy and peace and comfort and love. And as we get ready to sing these songs of praise to you, Father, I pray that we wouldn't worry about how we sound or if we just want to pour ourselves out to you and not worry about what the next person is doing. This is our time to worship you. It is our time to praise you with our voices, with our hearts and our souls. So Jesus, we lay everything at your feet at this time, whatever that might be, whatever that encompasses. And we take this time to just focus on you and give you glory and honor and praise. In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer this prayer, and all of God's people said, amen.
Well, good morning, and how do you follow up songs like that with meditation? I'd almost just need to sit down and go from there. But we've had another one of those wonderful Hallmark holidays just a couple of days ago, Valentine's Day. I didn't realize how expensive love was. Not that I spent that much on Kathy, because we don't spend a lot of each other on Valentine's Day. A couple of cards, some candy, things like that. But just for greeting cards for Valentine's Day, there were 190 million estimated to be purchased for Valentine's Day. That's $1 billion. Because if you've purchased a Hallmark greeting card anymore, used to they were about $1.50, now $5-6. If you get one of the fancy ones that plays a song, it's even more. But anyway, that was $1 billion for greeting cards. Flowers, the American Florist Association, was estimating $2 billion for roses and all those other wonderful little flowers. The jewelry industry in the United States, they were estimating for Valentine's Day $4.3 billion worth of jewelry to be bought. Ladies, if you didn't get any jewelry, I'm sorry, but you know that's what they estimated. Candy suppliers were estimating $1.7 billion in candy sales. You add that up, that's $9 billion. That's like a nine with nine zeros after it. Now, my little brain can't wrap itself out around that much money. I mean, I'm never even close to having anywhere near any of that money. So I decided, well, let's look up and see what that would buy you if you just bought something. The most expensive car that I can pronounce is a Lamborghini Venovia, $4.5 million a piece. That means you could buy about 2,000 of those. Now, can you imagine a Walmart parking lot full of Lamborghinis? I mean, that's what it would be. The most sophisticated airplane in the world. Technology, communications, everything else. What plane is that? Air Force One. You could buy two, because they're $3.9 billion a piece. So you could buy two Air Force Ones. Or, if you will think of nautical stuff, the most expensive and biggest cruise liner ever built, Royal Caribbean Allure of the Seas, at $1.4 billion. You could buy six of those. This thing carries 6,400 passengers and 2,100 crew. And I couldn't figure the size of this thing, but it's the biggest one they ever built in the world. So that's an idea of what you could get with what is spent on Valentine's Day. But yet, with all that, there's one cost that has even been greater than that $9 billion. And we guess what that cost was? Cost of God to turn his back on his son when Jesus was nailed on that cross and took all of our sins and everybody else's sins upon him, God could not deal with that, because God doesn't deal with sin except to forgive us of it. But he turned his back on his son. And what did Jesus say about it as that time came? In Mark 15, verse 33, my God, why have you forsaken me? That cost God more than all the stuff I just talked about for Valentine's Day. He turned his back on his son and said, I can't help you. It's all on you. So as we gather around this table, let us think of the cost to God to give us salvation. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, as we recognize how much the cost of love was to you on that day, turning your back on your son, your partner, the person who shared in creation of everything, we are just amazed and humbled that you would do that for us. So at this time, Father, as we partake of these emblems, let us remember that cost and the reason for it, your love for us. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. It's a good thing when two communion trays won't serve everybody in the building. But just as a thought, you can grow on church, or the church can grow on, I think we've got five of those trays. So we could handle a lot more people. But anyway, at this time, it's time for us to give back to God. And we just talked about how much it cost him to provide for us the love that he has for us. And so he asks us to do things for him. Part of it is obey his commands, obey the things he's taught, he's written, had written down in our Bibles for us. Part of it is to give back to him. He asks for a tithe and offerings. How much should we give back as a tithe and offering? Well, the tithe is 10% of, as I always said, was, now, is that my take-home pay or is that what the tax people get? And it was explained to me once, it was, you know, if God said, okay, I'll give you, you know, a third of what you need to eat, because that's the way it works. You know, everything's out there, but I'm going to cut back on it just because I'm only give you what you can take home. He said, you know, it's everything off the top, so we can calculate that. Offerings, we've had offerings around here that have worked out well for us. We paid off the building when it was first built, the first half, when we took up special offerings to pay that note off. That was kind of fun, burned that thing in a bucket of sand. We've taken up special offerings to pave the parking lot and done other things. That's above and beyond your tithe. So there's all kinds of ways you can do things to pay God back. But he specifically says we should tithe to him. So at this time, we'll do that. We'll give back a portion of our income so that the work of this church can continue in this community. So you join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time where it's time for us to give back to you, we ask that you would bless both the gift and the giver and give us the wisdom and knowledge to use these funds in the best possible manner to serve you and your kingdom here on earth. All this we lift up in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to go ahead and dismiss all of our elementary kids to Kids Zone. They're going to be with Miss Denise today. And so, and Miss Regina, my understanding. So I hope you guys have a great time. Pay attention in class. You'll be quizzed later. Good morning, LCC. It is wonderful to see many of you this morning, and especially some of you. I know you've been fighting through some things, and I'm so glad to see each of that you're back. And I hope and pray that as we have, over the past 6 weeks, the 7 weeks, we have been diving into a series that I felt was very pivotal for our church to go through to start 2020. And this series has been entitled The Gospel. And the gospel message has been something that I believe is still on the forefront of people in the church, but do we act on it? Do we actually say we are going to take the gospel message of Christ, the good news of Christ, to the people around us? Are we serious about it? Is it a part of who we are? Is knowing that there's someone that could hear this, it could really give them hope. It could restore them. It could help them immensely. Because here's the thing, what I've kind of gathered so far in the first 7 to 8 weeks of 2020, and the fact of the matter is that it's been a mixed bag so far. You know, there's been some good things that have taken place, not just for us, but throughout the whole world. There's been many different things, yet there's also been tragedies and losses, people who have left us already. And so I feel it's been a mixed bag. And depending on who you talk to, what's impacted the world? This past Tuesday, we had our men's group. We had about 10 guys show up. And we had a great time talking. We were eating Mexican food. We were enjoying our chimichangas, our quesadillas. And some of us just liked rice and beans. But I posed a question. I said, what do you think's made the biggest impact in the world so far? And multiple things came up, depending on who, what they thought was most impactful. And it reminded me so much that the greatest news that we could ever hear is still true to this day. And that is that Jesus Christ lives. And He is active. And He is moving. And He is rescuing the lost from His actions on the cross. He is moving through His followers by the Holy Spirit. And He is preparing for our arrival, whether we leave this world by natural means or we actually are among those who are called up to heaven itself. And it is the greatest news, and that is Jesus Christ. And it'll be the best good news you could ever have. And over the past couple of weeks, we've taken the letters of the word gospel, and we've tried to get insight into what really the gospel is all about, and how we did, what kind of approach we can take with the gospel. And so, if you don't mind, if you've just joined us this week, let me give you a really brief recap real quick of what we've talked about, and I'll try to be very brief about it. So week one, we talked about how we need to go with the gospel, that no longer is the pressure on us to try to win someone to Jesus. All we've got to do is tell someone about Jesus and let God do the work. Then there is the obedience to the gospel in week two. Talking about how the commands of God are not a burdensome to us. They shouldn't be a burden to us. In fact, God wants us to come under Him, at the same time, God is coming together with us in obedience. And Jesus showed that obedience. Week three, we talked about the sacrifice for the gospel. That there are things in our lives that are holding us back from truly being used by God. We can call them excuses. We can call them fears. We can even say maybe it's because we want to be in control. We need to sacrifice those things at times so that we can be truly effective for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The next one was the letter P in week four. We talked about how to persevere through the gospel. Because there's going to be times where you're sharing the gospel message. You're going to have people ridicule you and make fun of you. You shouldn't be so serious about it. You don't need to put your faith and hope in something that's a hokey religion or anything of that nature. You'll come back with all sorts of things. But that's the endurance that we have to go through sometimes in order to weave our way through and find the person that will accept that message, who will truly take it to heart, and they will come back to you and say, thank you for introducing me to Jesus Christ. So we got to persevere at times through the trials and the tests and the persecution. And then we looked just last week at the letter E. And I hope the letter E was certainly an enjoyment for you, Because that's what we talked about, the enjoying the gospel, to enjoy it, to understand that there is a reason why it's good news. It's because you can find hope and peace and comfort and love and security for your soul. So many different things that we can enjoy about the gospel message that should bring a light to us and that we should enjoy it. And the truth of the matter is that God Himself still today enjoys you. And He enjoys moving through you. And He enjoys the partnership that we have with Him to share this good news with people. So today is the letter L. And for some of us, maybe we're saying, yay. But that's okay, because guess what? The letter L is the one letter that brings it all together. It's going to confirm our mission as a church. We're going to help discover what the cornerstone of the gospel message of Jesus is. So, if you don't mind, join me in prayer this morning, and let's wrap up this series with this understanding. So, join me in prayer this time. Jesus, thank you. Thank you so much for letting us come here today. Thank you for the opportunity we have to glean from your word and to let it, to absorb it, to make it a part of us. Something that we don't just want it to just stay and go, but if it's going to stay and go, it's going to be because it's come into us and we're going to be taking it so that we can be refreshed again. And Jesus, I know that we come this morning with different things taking place in our lives and so many thoughts going through our heads. And Lord, I pray right now that you would bring calmness and peace to us with those things. That you allow us to have our hearts and our minds and our ears focus on the words that you would have us to know. And so Jesus, I pray this morning for each and every one of us to glean something from this message today so that we can truly take the full gospel into the sphere of influence, the realm of which that we're in, and live out that example, and even also share what it means to know Jesus and to share the gospel. Be with us now as we go through your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The letter L in the word gospel has a deep connection to who we are as a church, and it's the core of who Jesus is and his message, so it should come as no surprise at all that the letter L, especially for us here at Lexington Christian Church, that the letter L stands for to love on others with the gospel. To love on others with the gospel. Like I said, it shouldn't come as any surprise if we consider ourselves a disciple, we consider ourselves a follower of Jesus, that we would cover this, because it was the love of Christ that compelled him to come and be a part of this world in human form. It was the love of the Father that motivated his actions. It was his love and compassion that drew him to people and people to him. It was the love that the early church would devote themselves to with each other and make sure that every single person that they came across was going to be aware of that love too. It was a love that changed the world at a certain point. It is the same love that changes the world today. So don't lose heart in that. It's the same love, that same love that changed the world 2,000 plus years ago is still changing lives today. Amen? It is. I know it's easy to think that the world is so full of dissension and division and strife and wars and hate and any other type of negative thing that you can think of that's going on in the world. And I promise you that there is still remnants and pockets that can still change the world when it's fused with the love of Jesus Christ. It's a love that we have been tasked to take on and share here in Lexington, Tennessee, here in Henderson County, and all throughout West Tennessee. It's something that we should live out, share freely, just as much as Jesus gives it. And to make it meaningful for us as a church here at Lexington Christian Church, the gospel fuels hashtag love on. Okay, the gospel fuels hashtag love on. And if you're new to our church, this modern phrase, hashtag love on, is what defines us. It's a state of action that moves us to express the love of Jesus to one another, to our community, and doing our best to give that back to Jesus. But here's the truth of the matter. We already know, and I hope you know, that before all of that, it was God and His Son who first loved us. And so all we're doing is trying to take that love and share it to the people around us that need it. It gives purpose. In fact, it kind of goes through all of those letters. It allows us to go. It gives us the confidence to go. It helps making understanding coming under obedience smoother. It gives purpose for sacrificing for the gospel. It strengthens our resolve in persevering for it. And it enhances our enjoyment for the gospel. Love is indeed the fuel for the gospel. And we're going to look at some scriptures today that will help shape this and help our understanding of this morning, so we can solidify our position of hashtag love on for the people around us. So take your Bibles this morning and let's get this started. We're going to look at 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 this morning. We're going to start with this one because the Apostle John was considered the disciple that Jesus loved. And it says that all throughout the book of John, and maybe that was just a perspective and so forth, but I think it was John who truly understood the love of God. And so he writes extensively about it in the book of 1 John, and I want to capture a part of this passage in chapter 4, verses 7 through 12 this morning. Let's read together what this has to say. Maybe for some of you it's familiar. It says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another or love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and His love is brought to full expression in us." As I was thinking about it, you know, human love itself has its limits. You know, the reason for this is because we typically tie in our emotions with our love. Most people believe that love is a feeling, a tingling sensation, a butterflies in the stomach type moment. And there's something to be said to that if you're looking for a date, or you're looking to court someone, or if you're looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or if you're looking for a husband or a wife. But others would say that the truest type of love is that of a parent to a child, because it covers a gambit of many areas of love, like compassion, kindness, gentleness, discipline, tenderness, toughness, anything else that you want to put there. The love of a father and mother to a child is indeed one that's sacrificial and selfless and pure. And yet at the same time, the greatest kind of love encompasses all of that. And that's the love of God. A love that goes beyond human limitations. See, what I love about 1 John 4 here, it paints a picture of God's love that given to others without people needing to see God face to face. And that certainly isn't easy, because when we think of love, we think of looking into the eyes of the one we want to show love. In fact, you know, if you want to, if you got somebody near you, take a moment and look in their eyes. Go ahead. It's fine. Some of you might hesitate a little bit. I'm waiting to see. You may, yeah. Yeah, of course. Because if you look into someone's eyes, you can look into truly how they feel about you. Okay? But I know, and that's the toughest part about God, because we can't see Him. In fact, the Bible always talks about how God is, you can't approach God because He's like inapproachable light. It's hard to see His face. And man, some of us would love it if Jesus were still here, so we can look Him in the eyes and express how we feel about Him. I mean, for instance, I mean, would it make worshiping God easier if Jesus was standing here, okay, and the words are going up across, or on the screen here as we're singing songs, would you find it easier to worship Jesus? You be honest with yourself. Maybe some of us, we wouldn't necessarily be standing like we would typically stand when we're doing worship. I think some of us would actually come on up on the stage and bow and get on our knees. Even if our knees really hurt, we would want to, because it's Jesus. He's right here. And it would change the way that we worship, wouldn't it? Or even better, what if, here's Keith, he was getting up here doing his meditations, and all of a sudden here's Jesus. Instead of being served the communion, I think what we'd be doing, we would all be getting up out of our chairs and coming around this table. It'd almost be like sharing a meal with Jesus, wouldn't it? Man, if only Jesus was here. If only we could see Him. That describes one of the disciples of Jesus. Do you know his name? It's Thomas. Thomas was the same way. If you don't know his story very well, Jesus had officially been resurrected. 3 days later, fulfilled prophecy. Said he would come back himself. And he did. And he appeared to Mary. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the other disciples. But for some reason that day, Thomas wasn't there. We don't know if he was running an errand, if he was out of town, if he had planned a trip over to Samaria. We don't know. All we know is that Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first appeared. But then Thomas came back. And they had this great message saying, Thomas, you're not going to believe this. So Thomas is already thinking, I'm not going to believe this. But guess what? Jesus is back. He's alive. We saw him with our own eyes. But Thomas just couldn't wrap his head around it. He just couldn't believe. In fact, Thomas said this in John chapter 20, verse 25. I won't believe it unless I see the nails. I won't see those nail wounds in his hands. Or put my finger into them, or place my hand into the wound in his side. See, here's the thing. Many people are like Thomas. They want to see. They want to feel. They want to be able to look Jesus right in the eye and be able to see everything that who He is, including the scars, including the holes, including the wound in His side and in the holes in His feet. That's how people are. They want to be able to see what they're going to believe in. But the truth of the matter is, guess what? That is not faith. But here is one thing. And once again, Jesus, this just shows you how incredible He is. And this is a point I want to make about this. Jesus went the extra mile in love twice. You're like, Jesus went the extra mile in love twice. And here's what I mean. The first time is the obvious. Jesus came to earth being the Son of God, knowing He was the only one who could abolish the control of sin and its power and demolish it and put it to death. He knew He was the only one that could take on the sin of all of us, including those of the past, currently, and in the future. That every single human being could finally experience forgiveness, mercy, grace, and love through God surrendering His one and only Son, so that through Him, those same people could have access to eternal life, including us here today. But it was after His resurrection that once again Jesus went the extra mile. He presented Himself alive to many of those that followed Him so that they know this is not a hoax. Okay, it would have been just easy for Jesus to break the seal, break that tomb, walk right out, maybe see one person and say, I'm back, but I'm going to go ahead and go to heaven. And only one person would know the truth. And how many people are going to believe one person? Think about it. So Jesus made Himself available to His followers. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15:4 through 8 say the following. This is Paul talking here. He was giving an account, and he wanted to make sure that people understood this. He said he was buried. So to be buried, it means he was dead. He was buried, and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the Scripture said. He was seen by Peter, and then he was seen by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of His followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, although some have died. Then he was seen by James, and later by the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw Him. That being Paul. Among those 500 plus people was Thomas. And here's where Jesus went the extra mile. Even though He didn't owe anybody anything. He didn't owe the apostles. He didn't owe any of the followers. Certainly He didn't owe Thomas. In fact, honestly, He didn't need to justify His resurrection to anyone, but only His Father. But here's what Jesus chose to do. Let's read John 20, verses 26 to 29. It says, 8 days later, the disciples were together again. This time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. Peace be with you, He said. And then He said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at My hands. Put your hand into the wound in My side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen Me. Blessed are those who believe, what? Without seeing Me. And not just believe, folks, but love. But to love Him. Because from the moment you were conceived, Jesus intimately knew you. Jesus enjoyed you and loved you. And He still does all three of those things today for you and with you. See, Jesus set the example of what love is. Paul, he was inspired to write what those characteristics of love were in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Many of you know these words, but let's read them together. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Amen? Jesus loves us with all of these things, and I pray that we are moved to demonstrate the same kind of love that Jesus showed us. Yes, it's easy to love people when they're friendly to you. When they've got a terrific personality that you connect with. When they smile back at you, when they compliment you. It's easy to love those kind of people. But can we love people the way Jesus loved his enemies? Can you love the people who mock you, make fun of you? Can you love the people that think what you believe is a fairy tale? Can you love those people? You have to ask yourself honestly that. Because if you look at the example of Jesus Christ, he did his best to treat his enemies with respect, but he wasn't afraid to call out his enemies either. It's the whole concept of be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves, as the Bible says. Even Jesus said that. In other words, love takes on, is not just this, oh, let me give you a hug. Let me tell you, God loves you. You have to understand what love all encompasses. What 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 says about love. And those times where you have to do the things that are necessary to show that kind of love. Because at one point in our lives, we were outside of Christ. Maybe you remember that. Maybe you remember that life that you had when you did not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know what you did. You know your past. You know everything that you used to do. Because number one, we either hold on to it, or number two, the enemy tries to remind us of it. But here's the truth. When we found him and we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, we were shown a love that had never been experienced. And we should have the same desire as that of Christ to show this love to those who are looking for it. And believe me when I say there are people that you know that God will show you. He's going to show you the ones that you're looking for. For the kind of love he offers. Romans chapter 5 verses 6 and 11 say a lot about this. But I want you to keep verse 8 in the forefront of your mind. Let's read it together. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his Son while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his Son. And if you understand what that means the resurrected life of Jesus. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us what? Friends with God. Some of us have a hard time wrapping our brains around that, but guess what? You are a friend of God because of Jesus. Amen? You are a friend of God. You watching on Facebook Live, you are a friend of God. Josue, you are a friend of God. Chuck, you are a friend of God. And I can call each and every one else's name. If you want me to, I'll rattle them off right now. You want me to? Some of them are shaking your head like, please don't. But I'll tell you what, that doesn't change the fact. You, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, are a friend of Almighty God. Amen? Beautiful. It's a wonderful thing. This past weekend, and Keith said this earlier, we celebrated Valentine's Day. Maybe some of you did, some of you didn't. But lots of people observe it because it reminds them to think about the ones they love. Others usually use it to finally have the courage to say, I've been wanting to say this for a long time, but baby, I love you. Others were hoping for a certain thing to happen to the one they loved. Wink, wink. So what do? Right, Keith? They break the bank. They start buying flowers, cards, chocolates, helium balloons, cupcakes, cakes. I'll be in trouble if I don't mention this. Strawberry covered chocolate strawberries. Sweet tarts. Oh, that popcorn crackle stuff. Tinted windows. See, here at Lexington Christian Church, we can just be ourselves. And let me not forget the whipped cream. And then, of course, you got to throw in the romantic music. Maybe a little bit of a romantic comedy. Or romantic drama. Some people actually still are old-fashioned and get all dressed up as if they're going to a prom or a wedding. But the whole matter is they want to do their best to show someone how much they love them, and the whole world spends billions of dollars on it. It's true. I'll admit, I spent over $50. I'm confessing. But here's what I know about Jesus. He doesn't need all that. In fact, how did Jesus show His love for us? With His arms open, His skin pierced, and His blood shed. Blood that ran red. All in the name of love. The love of God. That never quits. That never stops. And we can put our hope in. So in many respects, as we wrap up this series today, if there's one thing I want you to write down, it's this next point, because if you don't get anything else out of today's message, I want you to get this. Because I think it will help you even more to share the gospel. And that is that the gospel is a love note from God. The gospel is a love note from God. How many of you, when you grow up, wound up getting that little love note from that one person that had a crush on you back in elementary school? Hey, I like you. Will you please check yes or no? Some of them, will you please check yes? They left off the no. Okay? The gospel is a love note from God. It's a note to share that God is still in love with His children. He's still in love with the child that is far off and trying to stay away from God. He's still in love with the child that has their doubts about His love. It is a consistent, never failing message of love. It is a note that says, I will never give up on you, I will never abandon you, and that my love will never stop pursuing you, and it will be a tireless pursuit. A tireless approaching. He will fight to win you back, and it will remind us that He went to great lengths to end sin's reign of terror and sin's separation of us from God. Because God said it was time. It was time to send my Son. It was time for Him to redeem the world, because He showed the greatest amount of love for not just His friends, not just His followers, but His enemies and those far off. He made a way for everyone to be restored to God and become a friend of God. It should be a love note that we pass to the person that needs His love the most. That is the heartbeat of the gospel. That is the heartbeat of hashtag love on. As we close, I have these final two scriptures for you. I'm not even going to reference them. You can see the references here in a moment. But they're words I think every one of us know, or at least familiar with here at Lexington Christian Church. Let's read them together as we close. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Let all that you do be done in what? In love. So church, as we wrap up this message and we wrap up this series, let's just go out and do one thing. Let's love on others with the gospel. Are you ready? Let's pray. Jesus, thank You. Thank You for the way You have loved on every person of every generation in this world. That includes us today. That includes us right in this moment, right in this hour that we're here. Whether we're here live or we're here watching it on Facebook Live. Jesus, I pray right now that You would stir Yourself in our hearts. Find anything offensive, anything that is getting in the way of us embracing this. We have a love note to share, Jesus. And we need to make sure we get that love note. And guess what? We don't have to worry about trying to get the yes or no answer. You just tell us, please take this note and pass it to someone that You love and I love. And I pray, Jesus, and we ask in Your name, will You please bring us someone into our lives that needs a love note, that needs good news to hear? Will You please send them to us, Jesus? And if we're being stubborn about it, please wake us up and help us realize that even in our everyday lives, everything that we do, we can still share this love note. We can still share this good news with people. You will open up the opportunity. I pray that the Spirit of God that lives in every believer will always make us aware of that moment. And give us the words we need and give us the actions we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't need to say a whole lot more. But if you have a decision to make to help with this, please come on forward. Or if you don't want to come forward, there's my buddy Chuck in the back. I've got Larry right over here too. If you prefer not to do it in the sanctuary, you can go out in the hallways. Is John here today? John McVeigh? Yeah, he's out in the hallway too, okay? Go give him some love. He probably needs it. He's been out there all morning by himself out there. Love you, John. I know you're watching. But let's love each other so that we can love on others. Why don't you stand with us and let's sing this wonderful song, Amazing Grace. Listen to you because, man, this has been an incredible day today. I don't know if it was because of how the weekend went or whatnot, but I do will say this. The Spirit of God was in this place today. Because the Spirit of God is in each and every one of you. And that's what's important. That's why the Spirit's here, right? Because He's in us. And there's more people in this community that need to experience that. So guess what? I want you to invite someone for us to love on next Sunday. Go out of your way. Make a new friend this week if you need to. Run into somebody at the grocery store, at Walmart, or at Food Giant. Maybe you're at the gas station. See somebody you know you hadn't seen in a while. You never know how God is going to use your week this week. So be ready. Because He just might say, there you go. There's your chance. Next Sunday, we're going to enter into a new sermon series. It's called Four Letter Words. The words God really wants you to know, not the usual four letter words that you might hear around. So, if you want to entice someone a little bit, tell them, hey, we're going to be talking about four letter words next Sunday and see what happens. So I hope you'll join us for that series. It's going to be a great series. So if there's nothing else, don't forget, the women's group is meeting this Thursday. Make sure you sign up to bring something in the South Foyer. And may God bless your week this coming week. I'm actually going to take a moment because I forgot to tell him he had to do this. Keith, I would like for you to close us in a word of prayer this morning, if you don't mind, sir. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the many blessings you've bestowed on us, all the answered prayers that you have given to this group, this church here in Lexington. We thank you that Chip could present the message today that tells us that you love us and that you want to be with us for all time, that you're our friend, a friend that we can call on in need and a friend that we can call on when we want to rejoice about something. So we ask that you now go with us until we can gather in your house again. And all this we lift up in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.